So hi, hello and welcome. Oliver Kim is my name and welcome to another episode of Talk Smart. And today I'd like to talk about the so-called political spectrum. What is the political spectrum? Well, it is a system to characterize and to classify and to organize different political positions that different people have, kind of in relation to one another. And you might have already heard of a person saying, well, I'm more on the left or I'm more on the political right. And I'd like to explore a little bit of what that actually means. And I want to try to show you that this is actually not quite as easy, because those terms have grown historically and they also mean different things in different countries. We're going to explore this a little bit, and then later on I'm going to show you a more modern view and a more modern model on how you can locate yourself on a political spectrum without simply having to use the terms progressive and conservative, or left and right. But let's now explore a little bit where the terms the political left and the political right, where do these terms actually come from? Well, we have to turn the time back a little bit, back to the year 1789. It's the time of the French Revolution. And in the French National Assembly there were the representatives of those people who were supporting the monarchy and those people who wanted to change the government to a so-called republic. They were the revolutionaries. And the people who wanted to support them, who supported the monarchy, were sitting on the right side of the National Assembly. And those people that wanted to change the government around and to change to a republic, and they wanted to have a revolution, they were sitting on the left side of the National Assembly. So this is basically the historical background here. And ever since then, these terms have been used primarily also in Europe, but not only, to kind of place the political views on a horizontal axis. In the United States, the terms liberal and conservative are a little bit more commonly used for that, with the liberals being the left, on the left, on the political left, and the conservatives being on the political right. And conservative means in essentially like you want to conserve, you want to preserve, you want to keep the status quo. This is why it's called conservative. Just like at that time in the French National Assembly, the political right, they wanted to keep the monarchy. So they were conservatives. However, over time, there were, of course, not also other political aspects that kind of played a role here. And I would like to talk about them as well. So a very important concept is the question of political and economic equality. Because the political left during the French Revolution, of course, they saw that the aristocracy, they were pretty rich, right? And then there were a lot of poor people around. So what they said is we have to actually make sure that there is a more equal redistribution of wealth in a society. Yeah, there must be more economic equality. So even nowadays, if you're on the political left, you're more likely to support aspects or concepts like, for example, free public health care, free access to education, and so on, equal pay, and so on, maybe even a minimum pay, equal pay between men and women. Yeah, all of these are traditionally concepts, economic concepts that have been allocated and ascribed to the political left. The political right, however, they said, well, actually, in a society, it's normal that some people are essentially richer than other people, because some people are also more talented than other people. That's basically the way it is. And therefore, if you are very talented and if you're very good at doing your job, then of course you should also receive a higher pay. And it's not fair that if the government then takes away this pay or part of this pay in the form of tax to give it to the poor. It's almost like a Robin Hood principle. You take away from the rich to give to the poor. That's not fair. Yeah. And then the political left would actually say, well, but the thing is the following. Sometimes people are very talented, are very working very hard, but simply because of the circumstances, they simply are not able to earn enough money this way. Yeah, life is simply not fair. And if you're not there at the right place at the right time, if you're simply not lucky enough, you're not going to be successful. Yeah. And on the other hand, you have the political right as well. Just work hard enough and then you'll be successful. And so you see that these are two different contrasting ideas. there's probably a truth in all both of them. Yeah, it's not either or. That's why you have this a range for, yeah? And probably there are aspects of both that are they're correct, obviously. Yeah, and people on the political right would actually say, well, if you work harder, then essentially you're also deserve to get more. Yeah, and then in contrast, some people on the political left are probably going to say, well, there are people that work very hard, yeah, but simply because of the circumstances or because they didn't have rich enough parents that were able to finance them a good education. Well, that's why they're not going to be successful, even though they work very hard. So you see that this is a debate that's been going on for a pretty long time. But besides this economic egalitarian or elitist type of spectrum that you have here, egalitarian meaning that you are striving towards a more equal, economically equal society, while elitism is the concept that there are always some groups of people that are going to be richer, more and have more advantages, because that's almost given. Besides this spectrum, there are also other possibilities how you could theoretically distinguish between politically left and political right. And the second category could be whether a person is progressive or conservative. And here, even here, you have to go back a little bit into history to understand this, because back in the 19th century, in some countries, there was a pretty big difference in income, not only in income, but also in the life living environment of people. And the political left, therefore, came up with ideas of improving society. It says, in order to get the poor people out of their poverty, we have to make changes to our society. And these were progressives. They wanted to have changes made. This way we can improve our society. And the conservative says, no, everything's fine as it is, and we want to keep the system the way it is. Of course, this is also a little bit of a problem in distinguishing between progressives and conservatives for a variety of reasons. People could not agree, or it's difficult to agree. Now, what are those aspects that we want to improve? Different people might have different ideas here. Yeah. And another thing is, even the so-called conservatives at that time started to come up with ideas on how to improve society. So even they didn't want to keep everything the same. And likewise, the so-called progressives, once they have made certain achievements, they wanted to keep those. They became conservative in those aspects again. So you see, this division into being progressive and conservative is also a little bit problematic. Yeah. You see, we have to be a little bit careful here, because it's easy to kind of throw around terms like that. But in reality, you got to dig a little bit deeper, and then you're going to say, well, actually, it's not always that easy. And another way how you can distinguish the political spectrum would be internationalistically oriented or nationalistic. Internationalistic towards globalization, or nationalistic, which is more patriotic. And for a long time, historically again, the traditional left political parties, they had a very international approach. This means that this movement tried to immediately make establish connections with other similar political parties in other countries. So the left political parties, they were very quickly internationally oriented. And those political parties were sometimes very much against patriotism. And then the traditionally right-leaning parties, they were more nationalistically, patriotically oriented. Yeah, maybe you could actually see maybe a domestic orientation, to use a term that's a little bit less emotionally loaded. So you could say maybe a more globalized orientation, while the other one was maybe more domestically oriented. Yeah, but all of these aspects are very much simplifications of a political landscape, because there are several issues why it's a problem. First of all, it's historically grown. So this means that times change, and the political topics that we talk about these days are different than what they used to be a few hundred years ago. And the improvement of society, for example, to get poor people out of poverty. And so in many countries, this has already been achieved. Yeah. Or to a large extent achieved. I do not want to deny that there is still poverty around. And in many cases, the people got out of poverty not simply because of a redistribution of wealth, which is a leftist concept, but by growing the economy, which is a very right-leaning concept. So you see, it's a little bit paradoxical sometimes as well. But times change, societies develop, and maybe the original definitions really don't hold quite as much anymore. And another issue that I found, another problem that I found is, well, what happens if a person has different perspectives? I mean, does it actually mean that just because historically the left was more for economic redistribution and more economic equality and it was internationally oriented, does this now mean that I'm not allowed to be also for economic redistribution of wealth and a patriot or domestically oriented? Because you see, what happens if there are people that have basically attitudes of both different aspects, you know, or a person who is, let's say, free public health care, which is traditionally maybe a leftist orientation, but let's say against the immigration of refugees, which is a right orientation. It's also possible. Yeah, but you see, the traditional single scale axis really does not take care or does not really address all of those mixed type of attitudes that you have. Yeah? Now let's talk about another problem here. And that problem is that in different societies, there are different definitions of what it means to be left or right. Or I wouldn't say definitions really, but different concepts or aspects that make a person left or right leaning. I want to give you an example. Let's compare the United States and Europe to Western civilizations here. In the United States, the conservatives there would call it very socialist, very leftist, if you essentially promote free public health care. If you say, okay, if you go out and say health care should be available to everyone free of charge, then you might be easily, very quickly labeled as being very leftist, very socialist. Yeah. But if you talk to European politician, a right-wing politician, I mean, many of them are going to support free public health care. And it's not seen as a left concept. It's not seen as a progressive concept. But in the United States, this is seen as a progressive concept. Yeah. Or let's give you another example here, the death penalty. So, for example, to compare Germany, for example, in this case, the Conservative Party of Germany has abolished capital punishment already back in 1949. Yeah? So already a long time ago. And then there was East Germany, which were basically left-leaning. And you know, when they abolished the death penalty back in 1989, 40 years later. Yeah, so the death penalty, is this now a traditionally left or a traditionally the right position? Okay. In the United States, supporting the death penalty is a conservative, right-leaning position. Yeah. In Europe, there is the general consensus, it's a non-issue. It's left and right. Political parties have agreed that it's not going to happen. It's not acceptable. Yeah. So there is more of this so-called bipartisan consensus in Europe concerning certain issues. Yeah. Or the issue of abortion in conservative countries in Europe, even they might allow abortion up to the third month. Yeah. So this is not really a question of being left or being right. Yeah. But in other countries, it is. Now, it became evident very quickly that this simple horizontal axis, left, right, is not going to be enough. So in the year 1968 already, Maurice Bryson and William MacDill published a two-dimensional model of the political spectrum. And I think this is actually the one that is much more useful. And I would like to introduce this model to you. Well, we still do have on the horizontal axis, left and right, and that's called the economic scale. So people who are more on the economical left basically are more for a redistribution of wealth, free public schools, free public health care, yeah, free public libraries. Yeah, and people who are more on the right are more for towards individual private businesses. And if you're able to afford it, then you're also able to pay for it. And then you should be able to pay for your own healthcare. You should be able to pay for your own education and so on. Yeah, so that's the horizontal axis. And then on the vertical axis, and that's another interesting thing, is called the social scale. And this goes from at the top we have authoritarian, and on the bottom we have libertarian. And this social scale is now important for clarifying how much role should the government have, or how much power, rather, should the government have to determine your private life. I'll give you an example. What about the use of drugs, recreational drugs? If you are an authoritarian, then you're going to say, no, the government should not allow that. Yeah, no legalization of, for example, marijuana. If you're more on the libertarian side, you're going to say, well, everyone should decide on it by him or herself. Yeah, it's not the business of the government, yeah, to interfere in my personal life. Or the same issue, also often debated these days, the whole issue with same-sex marriage. In an authoritarian government, then you're going to say, well, no, they have to mandate that this is not allowed. And in a libertarian society, well, actually, what role does the government have to determine who I marry? It's not the government's business. Yeah? So you see that you have then the possibility, by looking at this two-dimensional system, you can be either on the authoritarian left, on the authoritarian right, on the libertarian left, and on the libertarian right. Yeah. So you see, it's not just a left or right question anymore, but all of a sudden we have an additional dimension here. I'm going to give you an example communism, yeah, was very authoritarian and wasn't very much on the left side. Yeah. Fascism is very authoritarian, but very much on the economical right side. Yeah. So you see, that's kind of interesting, because the people at that time quite quickly realized, well, it's kind of strange that those authoritarian regimes, even though they're so much on a different horizontal axis, one is left, one is right, there's simply so many other things that they have in common. Now, why is that? Yeah, that's because you need another dimension here, this vertical dimension. Yeah. And for this reason, this so-called political spectrum, this two-dimensional political spectrum, left-right versus authoritarian, libertarian, is quite commonly known and has been quite widely publicized, because it proves to be quite useful here. Yeah. So, for example, in this case, it is possible to be economically very much on the right side, yeah, to have a neoliberal ideas about private ownership of companies and so on, low taxation. Yeah. But at the same time, be very much for the fact that the government should not impact on your private life concerning, let's say, who you're allowed to marry, whether you're allowed to have an abortion or not, the use of certain drugs, and so on. Yeah. And this combination was actually not possible so much before, because everything was dumped together. I mean, if you are conservative, then you had to be, okay, for private ownership of businesses. You're conservative. You were against abortion. You're conservative. So you were against the liberalization of drug use. You're conservative. So, and so on, you know? You were kind of dumped together. But people actually are not automatically always, cannot categorize them all together, because maybe you're economically on the right, but maybe on the social scale, maybe more liberal. And this new, it's not so new anymore, but this new political spectrum here allows for much finer tuned and I think a much more precise locating of different political ideas here. Yeah. So this is simply something that I wanted to illustrate to you. And here in the last couple of minutes, I wanted to give you again a little bit of a conclusion and a summary of what I just talked about. I started off with a short historical looking back historically, where the terms political left and right come from. The political left and right come from France, from the 1789 around. It has at that time meant primarily those people who supported the monarchy or those who did not support the monarchy. But over time, it was also picked up by becoming politically and economically, if you're more for an equal society or more for a society where you have a certain of a class structure or income structure. It was also used of whether you want to preserve the status quo, the situation as it is, or if you want to have change. Yeah. We've seen that this is kind of problematic, because change for the sake of having change is also not really meaningful. And also of whether you were more oriented internationally or more domestically. Yeah. And as I mentioned, there were several problems with that, and not only because it historically grown that the situation is now different than it used to be a few hundred years ago, but this type of system didn't allow really for a mix of different perspectives. And also another problem that I mentioned is that for different countries, what it means to be left or right or conservative or liberal means something different. Yeah? And but we're using the same terms here, but in reality, the ideas are very different here. So this makes it kind of very difficult to compare. And because of all of these problems, a new model was introduced, several models were introduced actually, but this one has actually become quite popular, where you try to distinguish between an economic scale from left to right and a social scale from authoritarian to libertarian, which determines on how much the government should be allowed to interfere with your own private and personal life. And for this reason, you get basically a quadrant, four quadrants. But you have to also understand is humans cannot be boxed so easily. So some people are more towards the center, some people are more towards the edges and the corners. Yeah, because different people might disagree or agree and disagree on different topics. Yeah? And for this reason, you have to take this also into consideration. But what I'm going to do now is I'm going to just simply recommend that you yourself try to this online questionnaire, which allows you to locate your own position on this two-dimensional model. And there are many questions to be answered. I tried it myself. I have to admit that some questions are not quite easy. It's also not possible to click something in the middle, right in the middle. You either agree or you disagree, or you agree strongly and you disagree strongly. But there is nothing in the middle, like maybe. Okay, they deliberately have done it like that so that you're not able to. Yeah, you have to basically force yourself to a decision, right? And in that sense, you can find a place somewhere on this matrix. Quite a few questions. Not all of them are easy to be understood. They're not questions. They're just statements, rather. So questions is not really the right term here. These are just statements, and you have to decide whether you agree or you disagree. Yeah, I recommend that you try it out, but do take a little bit of time here because there are quite a few questions to be answered. I think for today, I'm just going to leave it at that. I hope that you enjoyed this episode, that it was informative for you. I wish you a happy day and see you around next time. Bye-bye.